Hi, I'm Wendy Garrett. This is Conscious Living on Empower Radio. Thanks for joining us. I appreciate your time. And wherever you are, I hope things are going your way. If not, well, you can shift that. It's just a matter of being present in the moment and determining how you want to work your energy today. I met somebody through a book, reading her book, The Information We Are Not Alone, A Complete Guide to Interdimensional Communication and Cooperation. I threw the communication in there. That's what she does. I just added that for extra emphasis. And I will have you, Dorothy, I will have you give us your given name. This is a different name, and so I still have trouble. I don't want to mess it up. But our guest today, she'll give her name because it has a Sanskrit meaning. And so I'd like you to share that first.
All right. My name is Atala Dorothy Toy, and the Atala is a Sanskrit name. It refers to the inner earth, first of the inner earth worlds, and that's where I particularly like to work with the nature spirits. So it's an appropriate name, and served me well.
Well, when you started all of this, how long ago? Was this something you came into as a child? We're going to get into dowsing and some of the other things that you do. What was your first inkling that these things spoke to you and called to you?
Well, it's quite a bit like your story, Wendy. It happened in the mid-1990s when a lot of us were being contacted by extraterrestrials, interdimensional beings, in order to upgrade our consciousness to help us serve as teachers for society going forward. And at this time, before that, I'd been a simple bhakti yogi working at the United Nations, and just very peaceful love of God. And then overnight, I was able to communicate with different life forms. It didn't matter whether it was a computer or it was a tree or it was an extraterrestrial or an angel or a departed spirit. And at this point, I was either crazy or I was had experienced an enormous expansion of consciousness. So after going through a lot of different tests and of the people that I work with inwardly, and determining that this was a new science, they started teaching me how the science of consciousness works. And that gradually evolved into my book, We Are Not Alone, in which I go into light field geometrics as it applies to our Earth.
Okay. And the book is fascinating. Now, if you are listening and you've had curiosity about what it might be like to communicate with others who don't necessarily have a physical body and whether that's possible, one of my gauges for that is, does the information, is it coherent? Is it cohesive? Is it positive, upbeat? And as long as it isn't giving you some kind of a dictum of you must do this, it's always an interconnected agreement between the two of you to co-create and work together. So that, to me, it makes it much more valid and valuable, because you aren't somebody's little slave. You are doing this with purpose, intent, and usually for the good of the greater, with that, you know, for the highest result. That's my goal and how I work with this. Does that help? Does that explain it? Could you, you know, is that a good way to look at it?
That's pretty much how they taught me. I was coming from a devotional background, and I had to learn, as many of us have to, that the answer is inside ourselves. It's not inside any other entity, and that we are a co-creator of the universe, and we are equal to the life forms who we are working with. For instance, I work with archangels, Metatron, Michael, and Melchizedek. And the first thing that they did was tell me some jokes to show that humans can get very, very serious when all of a sudden they can communicate with these beings. And we've been taught by our culture that they're superior to us. So first they tell us jokes, and then they explain that they are our colleagues and that we sit in an inner round table. And it's kind of like the Native American medicine wheel, where everybody has a say in the common topic. And until we're in agreement, we can't work as a team. And this is really, really critical for the new way of thinking that we're moving into, is teamwork and equality. And I noticed in that you and your work also work this way. So it's a common theme.
Well, and that's a frustrating part, because as long as you're bickering and one person has an agenda or an ego that says, well, we have to do it this way or it won't work, and not because it's the best way, but they're very attached to their idea, and we get in love with our ideas, and we hate that they aren't, you know, validated by all of the group. And so that we kind of have to get over. It's a wonderful state to come from, because that is a protection, the ego, but it's just the beginning state. And once you learn to become less attached to that aspect of your knowing and your being, you become so much more aware and able to be taught some really higher truths that are extraordinary. And until we get beyond that, we can't see these things. So
I find that very helpful when they were teaching me, is moving up and down in planes of consciousness. That is, on Earth, we're a manifestation of consciousness in the solid physical. We are working with beings, light beings, in other dimensions before consciousness grounds into a solid form. At the higher levels, you can change things around a bit. It gets more difficult when it gets down into solid matter. So if we want to change something, and it's not critical like a broken leg, but if it's a concept, if we go up and we see where that concept began, then we can track it down and see how we can alleviate it or alter it to make the effect in the physical different.
Okay, can you give us an example? Because you're saying not like a broken leg, but what if someone wanted to change something? Again, with the highest good in mind, not to control, but maybe
right.
to get a greater perspective. How would that work?
Well, let's say that you were looking at your own life and you're not satisfied the way it's going right now. And you see that you believe in a certain set way, and you have maybe a certain job. If you go up above your physical body, up into spirit, and you see that you've evolved through many, many lifetimes, that you're part of larger families and larger teams, and that if you move back up, you can see how perhaps, for instance, very often some of my people I consult with, they might be a plumber. A plumber, if you look at it, is someone who's interested in how to connect fields to make energy flow through. Now, if you track that up above, you see, that person is interested in how the grids and lines of energies work in the universe. So everything that you've done in the solid physical is contributing to your sense of mastery of what it is you wanted to do at a higher level. So you can move up, and then you just shift, and you say, I'm going to take all that knowledge of how you have to connect things correctly to make them flow, and shift into being able to change my own life.
Okay. And I like the way you start with that, because that's pretty basic. That gives us a good concept of where to start from, just in, you know, real terms. The other thing I want to mention here is we're working with the book We Are Not Alone, but Dorothy also has, and it's Atala, also has a wonderful experience doing dowsing. She's, I would say, highly effective in that ability, and she's very, very aware of what works with crystals, rocks, that kind of energy. So all across the board, these attributes and these qualities you have really integrated to bring a new message that these are tools that we can work with. They're not just, you know, inanimate objects in our myths. They are meant for us to stumble across and realize the beauty of all of this. And eventually, I think we all will do this, but right now, some of us are in the beginning stages of stumbling and saying, what tripped
right.
me? How do you start working with that kind of energy? And let's start with dowsing.
Sure. All right. I'm a trustee with the American Society of Dowsers. And that's a national group that's headquartered up in Vermont, and actually we're having a convention there in June. And if people go to dowsers.org, they can see how they can go up and learn from master dowsers in all different fields, like finding water, changing meridians, how to just use a pendulum. So I teach people how to use a pendulum or rods in order to find the answer to questions that exist somewhere in the universe. They just don't know where. And this is actually a spiritual science, because it's taking universal energy and it's siphoning it. It's a person who thinks in a solid way is permitting that energy to come down through the subtle motor nerves of their arm and to move the pendulum to get an answer. Now, after we teach them how to be careful that they siphon out what's a real message and what's not, which you were mentioning you need to be careful about yourself, you can start getting more and more information. Then you start noticing, well, I can't really get my pendulum out when I'm in the grocery store and I'm seeing, is this orange better, have less pollutants than this orange? So you start internalizing it. And the first you might see a pendulum inside your head and you douse it, or you go forward or backwards, or you use kinesiology. And then after that, you start noticing that really every decision that we make in our life, we're dowsing for. It's like, well, should I take this job or should I take that job? Should I go see my family on Easter or stay home and clean the house? All of these are things that you're actually internally asking a question. So in my field, where I'm doing interdimensional dowsing, it's still just a further extension where I'm searching out a frequency of where either the spirit or the ghost or the nature being is existing, and then moving into that frequency to communicate. So they're all interrelated at different ways.
Okay. When you are doing this, and I'm real, that's a cool thing. My mom has done this, and my grandmother used to do it. She worked it into just her finger. If she felt the electricity a certain way in her finger, then she knew that was a positive or a negative. And so I had some good insight for that. But I read a book called Extraordinary Knowing. A psychotherapist wrote it, and she had used a master dowser to locate a harp. He worked with a grid to locate a certain part of the city, and they tracked down the harp. She knocked on the door. They said, I don't know. And then they called her 24 hours later and said, come pick up the harp at such and such.
Yes, that's actually one of our former presidents of the American Society of Dowsers that story's about. That's well known among the dowsing groups. And you can use dowsing for anything that you choose to specialize in. And he focused on being able to find things and locate things. He also could had the ability to unzip the head and go in and alter things psychically, and alter things in the brain and fix. He was a very great healer. This gentleman was. Really
is
amazing.
Howard
McCoy.
Deceased?
He did. Howard McCoy died a year or so ago. He had founded the ORI, Ozark Research Institute, based on contributions he got after that book came out.
Wow. Yeah, that is an extraordinary story. And mm-hmm. that was one of the things that shifted her, because she was having these metaphysical type experiences. And as a psychotherapist, questioning, of course, her own reality, we all go through that. When we work with this kind of information and getting these things in unconventional ways, is there a way to address the issue of fear or the block that says this isn't okay, I'm doing something wrong? How do you get around, how do you deal with that?
All right. Well, first, that's perfectly normal given our society and the unfortunate way in which anything that's not in the solid third dimension is treated. So the first thing that you have to do when you start doing this work is unlearn. You have to unlearn what you've been taught. And then you have to allow yourself that childlike openness to possibility. And then what you do is you start, if you're working with authentic guides, they want you to test them. Each guide is a real life form. It's a real being. It's not something in your imagination that you can, call on and make disappear. It's a real life form that is contracted to work with you. Each one has a certain ability that others, like if you're working with Archangel Michael, Archangel Michael is a warrior. If you were working with bear as a totem, a bear is protection. So they're not going to do what the other one can do. But they do know what they can do. So they will give you a test. They say, all right, if, for instance, when I was starting, they said to me, all right, we can tell you, if we tell you what's going to happen next Thursday at 2 p.m., and it occurs, will you believe that we can see into the future and that we can tell you what's going to happen? Well, I knew exactly where I was going to be next Thursday at 2 p.m., and it was not what they said. So I went, okay, but this is it. This is it. I'm going to know that you're fake. Well, next Tuesday at 2 p.m., in some weird way, I was at this totally other place doing exactly what they said would happen. And I had forgotten this, but all of a sudden they said, see what just happened? Now do you believe?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They can give you the test. On your side, it's your obligation, if they do meet the test, that you have to give them the benefit of the doubt and believe that they are who they say they are until the next time you need to test. If, on the other hand, they come and they say, oh, Wendy, if you do what we say, we will make you the most powerful person on earth, or the most beautiful, or the most knowledgeable, then you run the other way.
Yeah, that's a mind trip.
You're right.
We're not going to go into that aspect. I'll give you another example, because I've been doing this since 1997, consciously and intensely. Before then, it was just a matter of blocking it when it wasn't convenient. Say no, don't bother me right now. I'm busy. I'm trying to get a career started. Anyway, when I was approached, and of course, I connect just like you do. It's the intuitive connection. In the corner of the bedroom, they said, "Are you ready to? We will connect. Are you ready to connect?" And I said, "Yes." "Are you afraid?" "No, I'm not afraid." "Okay." So they gave me that little preamble, which is what has happened throughout this entire time since 97. And so within a couple hours, I woke up and I heard this mechanical version of my voice. It would be like somebody played it through a synthesizer, some kind of a harmonium, something that was very, very foreign to me. And I heard my name. It was like Wenny. And they couldn't pronounce it accurately the way we would do it, but it was my name. And the immediate thing I felt was a total throughout my body, because this was very foreign and I was not accustomed, have never heard it like that before. I was felt this fear rush through, and it was totally I hadn't intended to react that. So it's an unconscious, reflexive response. That's the fight or flight kicked in. And after that, so I'm like, oh, darn it, because I thought, well, I could hear more than just that. But what they said was, now do you understand how you need to address your fear? I'm like, yes, mm-hmm. Fine. But it was right. That thing of you have to release fear. And it's in some way a conscious effort to release that, because what happens with these kinds of things are things you don't expect, things you cannot anticipate. So in your being, you have to shift your view of reality and the world to become, as you said, open and more childlike in the pursuit. And yet at the same time, know that you have protection of whatever sort that happens to be with your own. For me, it's within my own divinity that there's that divine connection with grace that allows you to do things and learn as you go without being hurt in the process. Does that make sense to you?
That's total makes sense. And what that brings up is questions I had had when I was working, you know, learning to do this. And they explained that when you're working with an authentic guide, their objective is your perfection. They don't succeed if they get the glory or if you do something by rote. So they don't channel. They don't give you directions. They work so that you understand what's being requested and that your sense of acting increases your own capacity to comprehend universal truth and to manifest it on earth. That is their only objective, is transformation of the human being. So, and you're welcome to argue with them. That was the thing that took me. You know, usually you hear the angel on high gives you a directive and that's it. No, if you don't understand or you don't agree, you can argue. And then it's up to them to show either how they are right, or they also have to learn how to work with us in the physical. For instance, very often when you begin working with your team, they might want you working day and night. And you have to say, look, I need time to eat. I need time to sleep. I need time to have fun. So it's a joint blending of energies to accomplish a task, like any team. It's a team.
And that was my thing at first, because it can be very draining. It's so exciting to make that initial connection and the contact and realize at first I thought, oh no, it's going to stop, because it's a visual. The night lights in my presence do this wonderful light that's, and it doesn't drain the energy. It doesn't burn out the bulb, nothing. It just flickers or it stays off depending on what's going on to get my attention. And I would get up at 2 and 3 and 4, just, is it still doing it? And you know, after about 5 or 6 years, I finally decided it was still doing it.
Right.
But, you know, that stuff that we go through to continue, it's the wonder that happens that we, you know, at first have to really rewire our hard drive to figure out this is real. This is happening. And I'm not creating. I am participating in this. And I think your book gives so many examples of ways that we can expand our sense of knowing. I want you to address the main incident.
Excuse me?
In your book, you talk about the main incident. And, you know,
the main incident. Yes. First I want to just let your listeners know that we also have a free CD that they can download on my website, crystal-life.com, that can lead you through exercises to help you learn how to do this type of communication. And the book itself addresses the social history, and it addresses the geometrics and the everyday events. For me, what happened in the mid-90s was what happened to a lot of people, where a lot of the extraterrestrials societies are down here locating their people to upgrade them, because we're going through an upgrade of frequency and you need a genetic DNA reassembly. So I was driving to the Portland airport from our home in New Hampshire, and I was late and I was a little worried about making the plane. And there in the distance I saw blue lights, which I now know are Arcturian, but they looked like airfield lights, and I was very confused, and I said, what's happening? And as I did that, I saw another blue light come zooming towards the car, and then the next thing I knew, I was looking there, and I said, what happened? I don't see any lights. And then I looked at my watch, and I said, I'm not late, I'm early. So in between those times, what I know now is that a lot of the intergalactic societies have beams out. They all have a certain frequency that they work on. And when someone that's on Earth that is from their frequency trips it, then they are picked up or, you know, contacted and upgraded. And this has been going on everywhere. It happened to, I didn't tell anybody about this for many years because it was so weird. But the next year, my brother was going down from Maine to the family house, and he called me and said, "You won't believe what just happened to me." And I said, "I know what just happened to you," because he called just when he got through this little town. You saw some UFOs and you got picked up. And it was, "How did you know?"
That would be, "How did you know?" Whoa.
Right.
And that's the thing that I think people are right now having a real tough time accepting when you're in the mainstream and you're saying, "Well, this is too far off the deep end." But I tell you what, it really isn't anything to be afraid of. When you experience this, there is a higher purpose, and it isn't meant to scare people. It's meant to say, "Hey, kids, we're helping you get on board, because some things are going to happen very quickly, and you're going to need to be ahead of the game to be prepared to deal with it." And it's not about, oh, an end of the world Armageddon time. That's off the deep end. But it's more about just accommodating our own ability to stay connected while we go through this shift in the consciousness of the earth. And that's a real teeny tiny way of trying to explain something that's unexplainable. How about your version?
And you know, it's very interesting is that we're all being helped individually. It's not like this mass thing, like you all have to march to the same drummer. No, it's very, very individual. For instance, you perceive one way and you were contacted in a particular way. I perceive another way, contacted a different way. And I'm part of a Melchizedek lineage. There are many other people doing this. Dronvalo Melchizedek, many, many people who do different areas of interest because of the way they've evolved from source. And every way is right. And we could be very quietly in some local community just making things better in the area around where we live. And that's what we're meant to be doing right now. So it's an honoring of everybody, humble all the way up. Everybody has to contribute.
Well, see, that's the way I look at it, is if you're trying to build a spaceship, you don't just have one particular group and put all of that group to work on building the spaceship. You work on the entire parameter of who it takes to get the space, who it takes to get the equipment, who it takes to create the pieces, who it takes to do the launch. That's what we are all participating in. So every single person has an ability that is going to be contributing to the whole, and seeing all of those different abilities as profound and positive and really needed during this time is where we all learn to become larger than what we have been in the past by segregating and saying, "Well, this person is more valuable than another," and or "this being, this life form is more valuable." We're all here together, and that's what this is about. That's why I wanted to talk with you, because I think your information is so supportive and so helpful in laying out some details and some ideas and an experience that other people may have wanted to keep to themselves as well. But because you are talking about it, it gives us a platform and a way of saying, "Hey, pay attention, wake up. It's not as weird as you think. It's weirder and it's better." that's my own way of laughing at it, because they do. It's that thing of, if you can't enjoy the humor and the beauty of the laughter, then you just lose out, and that would be a shame. So they worked with me with the Native American stuff and coyote energy. As soon as I was willing to fall on my butt and say, "Okie dokie, here I am," then I got to go forward. That wasn't a very helpful in terms of my ego thing, but it was very enlightening and helped me integrate my humility into the equation very quickly.
I think it's very important. Humility is the most important thing when you're doing this, because when you're coming from ordinary society and then all of a sudden you have these capacities, there is the humility to know that every single one of us has these capacities inherently, and we're all beginning to wake up to them. And for instance, I know a lot about consciousness. I know nothing about nuclear physics. You know, so, and we need somebody there, or we need a surgeon who can cut, you know, take care of a broken leg. So how can you say that you're more important than they are? We're all necessary, and we all have to work in cooperation and in community, or we won't achieve our goals.
So. Okay. I got to let you go, but I do want to share your information. So with people who would like to get in contact and find out more, there are three videos that are on YouTube. You can check her out. Also, go ahead and give us your contact, the website, and if there's anything else that would be helpful, please share that before we end.
Certainly. People can come into crystals-life.com, and we have an extensive library with a lot of information on how the chakras work, how interdimensional cooperation works. We have free exercises. We have free books you can download on dowsing. And you can also contact us via Facebook at crystallife.com.
All right. If you're listening, hopefully we've piqued your interest and curiosity, because that's what it takes to get started. And keeping that alive once you connect with this won't be any problem. There will always be things to make you even more curious about what you've experienced. Integrating it takes a little time, so trust that there's a healthy level of patience that you will need to develop as you go through this process. I would like to have you back again so that we could talk about the shift, the change, that kind of thing. We didn't have a chance to address that. So if you are open to that, I would like to just say that we would be happy to connect again.
I would be delighted to. We're working in the same team for the same purpose, and it's been a total delight speaking with you and speaking with others who are also committed to elevated consciousness on Earth. And I thank you very much for all the work you do on your radio show to help other people to understand. It's a very valuable tool, and we appreciate it.
Thank you. Well, we'll connect again. And if you're finding out more and just beginning to explore some of this stuff on conscious living, you can connect with me through either Talking to Nightlights, the Blogspot site, or you can do it Conscious for Life Blogspot or Empower Radio. One way or the other, wherever you are, please remember we're all in this together, and each and every one of us has something valuable to contribute. So the person sitting beside you may be your next teacher. Enjoy. Thanks for listening. Think the highest thoughts. Those are the ones that come back to you.